chains being broken already. I say, there's no chain that will survive this service in the mighty name of Jesus. No chain in the life of your people this morning. No chain in the life of your people this morning will survive this service in the mighty name of Jesus. Let every chain be broken totally, completely, permanently in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we are praying. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. I am so excited in the spirit this morning. I want to thank God for the choir for walking the spirit. Put on God for love for them again. Let me tell you for sure, God is mightily present here today. Right from the time that Brother Mola started the service this morning, as soon as he opened his mouth to open the workers' prayer meeting, I could feel the awesome presence of God, and I knew God was here. And I thank God for that, our sister that came to give the testimony. As the moment we stood here to make prophetic declaration, I could see that angelic beings were around. And I'm so happy that somebody from the congregation came here to confirm it. The presence of God just too much. And let me say it. I want to make this announcement. Henceforth, anybody that misses the prophetic declaration will have missed 70% of the service. Every first Sunday of the month is a joint ministration by all the pastors. And let me tell you, we don't just come here just to come and talk. We wait upon God. We see the face of God. We ask God for it. So it's we don't just come here and then spoil the moment. So, and I can see that God has started to honor it. So, henceforth, message on first Sunday of May will just be exhortation. Pastor will just come up to tie it up, maybe about 20, 30, maximum 30 minutes at most. But the meat of first Sunday will be the prophetic, it's a joint ministration by the pastors after waiting upon God. This morning, I thank God that the choir said we need a move. And we said we're already moving forward. But this morning, I will exhort you briefly on what I call faith without fear. Faith without fear. There is always a need to make a move. There is always an urge to go into a venture. There is always a need to take a decision. There is always an occasion to press forward. But you have to know that starting a venture, making a move, taking a step, taking a decision starts with faith. But it's always easier to start with faith. But staying on course without allowing fear to come in and truncate the move is the most important thing. If you look at the Bible, taking the first step is usually not too difficult. But staying on course has always been a problem. There's always the fear that comes along the line that, am I going to make it? Am I going to sail through? Am I going to breast the tape at the end of the race? Am I going to get to the other side? And this morning, because of our time, I will just say a few things quickly. I will take my text from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, We had a long passage to read, but I will just divide into two. 2 Samuel chapter 6, we'll read from verses 1 to 11, but I've also read verses 1 to 7. 2 Samuel chapter 6, let's start from verse 1. We are going to 11, but I'll start from verse 7 first. And again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And those arose. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baale of Judah. See, each time I read this passage, I say, so there's Baale in the Bible. From Baale of Judah to bring God from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. Verse 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. A new cart. I want to mark that. And brought it out on the house of the brought that of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Verse 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanied the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fair wood, even on harps and on psaltery and on timbrels and on cornet and on cymbals, all kinds of instruments that you can think of. And when they came to the Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand on the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Verse 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Go back to verse 6. Here, the ark of the Lord was supposed to be in the city of David. You remember the enemy took it away when the glory departed, Ichabod. And the ark was in the house of Abinadab. Abinadab was a Levite. The ark was there for 20 years. 20 solid years. The ark. The ark is a symbol of glory. It's a symbol of honor. It's a symbol of the presence of God. But it was not with the people of God. It was just there. The glory of God was covered for 20 solid years. And at a time, David knew they needed to make a move. Then he decided they need to take it. It was the right venture. Was not the right move to go and take the ark of the Lord. They did the right thing. The ark belonged unto them. So they were going on the right venture. And when they got there, they put the ark on a new cart and asked even the Levite to drive it. But you know what? Suddenly, when they got to a place, the ark shook. The ark was shaking. They stepped out in faith. They were on the right course. They were on the right assignment. They did put everything in order. Nothing was wrong about the arrangement. And I would say they were dancing. They were singing with cymbal, with timbrel, with harps, with every kind of instrument you can think of, more than we have in this church, and more than we can find in any church in the world today. And they were dancing and singing, but suddenly the ark shook. What does it mean? There's always a moment of turbulence. But when turbulence comes, you need faith to know that you can be shaken, but you cannot be shattered. And I declare unto this morning, I as small as this year is, or whatever may happen, in any area you have been shaken, you will not be shattered. Amen. You need the faith to know that you should not allow fear to take away from faith. Because there will always be turbulence. No matter how much you pray, no matter how much you prepare, no matter the anointing and the grace upon your life, sometimes there will be turbulence. They took a move. They made a move. But there was turbulence. But fear took over the heart of Uzzah. And out of fear, but how can you ever imagine it? How can the ark shake? The ark of God, the presence of God, the glory of God, the fullness of God. How can it be? You were taught that even if the earth is shaking, the ark should stand gidigba. Am I right? But to the physical eyes, the ark was just about to fall flat on the ground. That tells you how serious, how terrible the turbulence was. So when we are taking a move, when we are making a move, when I go on a venture, there will be a mouth to bear, but we don't allow fear. You know, when fear comes, Bible says fear has torment. If you go to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, when it was talking about the perfect locust of fear, it said fear has torment. Fear is an arrow that the enemy shoots into your heart. You might be smiling upwardly, but there's fear in your heart. To everybody who is seated here today, who has been dancing before God, who has been praising God, but you are seated with fear locking in your heart. Today, I will put the root of fear from like this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Every fear that they want to use to override your faith and debar you from moving forward, today I uproot it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Secret fears. Fear has torment. No matter how much people read the Bible, no matter how much they pray, if there's fear locking or somewhere in their heart, it will debar their progress. It will not allow them to move forward because some people, when they pray, you think they are praying. They are not actually praying out of faith. They are praying out of fear. So fear is it brings torment. And you know one thing? Fear also tries, it wears a mask. What did I say? Fear wears a mask. You go to the book of Psalm 91, verse 5. Let maybe read that one. I was thinking we shouldn't read because of our time, but let's go to verse 91, Psalm 91, verse 5. We read to verse 7. Psalm 91, verse 5. But look at verse 5. Psalm 91, verse 5, please. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day. Well, hold on for a bit. You shall not be afraid of what? That what? By night. Why is it that it's coming in the night? Because you can hide behind the dark. I remember my youngest daughter when she was very young. At the time when we were saying this, I said, hey, go upstairs, go and take something in the room. She would be afraid to go there because she thought that maybe in the room it was dark. But there's nothing actually in the room. It's just the fear. So the enemy hides behind something. He will not use that one to torment you. He will look at a weakness in your life. He will look at an area and will hide behind it. Say sickness ye. Koni lobe ye. You see this work you are doing. It won't progress. See this, your academic. This course. You are not going to move forward. Which is actually a lie. It's only wearing a mask. Fear uses something, it will hide behind that thing and will not be projecting that thing before you. Fear always wear a mask. You need to unmask it. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not be afraid of terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by noonday. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. Now verse 7. What does it say in verse 7? 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right side, but it shall not move near you. But many people, the moment they had the first fall, the devil said, you are the next one. No. But he said, God said, 1,000 will fall by my side, 10,000, but it will not move near me. So I am protected, I am fortified, I am defended. So fear, go away. Fear has a mask. I don't know the mask. I don't know the thing that the mask that the fear is wearing in your life today. I don't know the department and the area of your life that the enemy is using and is hiding behind that area to say, look, you cannot go forward. You cannot make it. It's a lie, you are going to make it. It's a lie, you have to move forward. You have to know you need faith without fear. And the third thing I want to say about the fear is that it creates itself an obstacle for success. If you look at the book of Joshua, chapter 8, verse 1, what did the Lord tell Joshua? Let's look at it quickly. Joshua, chapter 8, verse 1, quickly. Know the soldier of that place. Ai was a city that they were unable to take before. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go up to Ai. Yes, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Why? Because they have suffered defeat before. In the hands of the people of Ai, and therefore the fear of that came. Many people, maybe you are certain this has happened to you several times. I say, it's going to be like the same thing again. And because of that, you don't want to make another move. You don't want to take another step. You don't want to go forward. I want you to know that fear has torment, but it has no power. Because God has taken away the power of fear if you can use his word. Now let's go back to our text. Let's go back to our text, 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll go back to verse 7. And the anger of the Lord. No, verse 8. We read verse 7. Let's go to verse 8. And David was displeased. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Pereuzah. To this day. Verse 9. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? He was hungry. He was unhappy. I can't blame him. And so David will not remove the ark of the Lord unto him, unto the city of David. The aim was to take the ark to the city of David. But because of the turbulence, because of unexpected thing, I don't know. Many of us, we see certain things we don't expect naturally to happen to us. But how do we respond to it? Remember in the book of, I think Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 to 26. Remember that Jesus said to his disciples, let's just go, I mean, the Bible said they followed him into, am I right? Okay, let us suspend. Let's go and read Matthew chapter 23, chapter 8. We go back, come back to this. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Let's go back to it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, I think to 26. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Verse 24. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. Verse 25. And the disciple came to him and awoke him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And verse 26. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye little faith? O ye of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. See, unexpected happened. How could they follow Jesus? And then the wind will so much that the wind will cover the sea. But the Bible says Jesus was, as he had absolute peace. Thank God for Brother Mondo that led on the prayer of peace this morning. He was walking in the spirit. Every area where the storm, the waves, is covering the ship of life today, the peace of God will come to that area in the mighty name of Jesus. So the sudden unexpected happened. So that what made, go back to my text, please. That was why David abandoned the ark. And where did he put the ark? Go. We are starting from verse 9. I think we are already in verse 9. We are going to verse 11. Media. And they let. No. Oh my God. God bless you. I think you have received the spirit of acceleration in Jesus' name, but not so fast. Verse 9. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Go back to verse 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. We are ready for, to verse 8. Verse 9. It is well with you in Jesus' name. Can somebody stand up and read it for me? Give her the microphone, please. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come unto me? Then the next verse, verse 10. So David will not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but did David carry it aside? He abandoned the project. He aborted the mission. He put a stop to the move. He took it aside. Said, no way, I cannot continue again. Fear had taken over from faith. He stepped out in faith. He ended up in fear. And the journey was aborted. And carried aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The destination was the city of David. It was not the house of Obed-Edom. Do you agree with me? But because of fear, because of turbulence, because of unexpected occurrence, he decided to abandon the project. I want to encourage you this morning. No matter the project you are led of the Lord to embark upon, do not abandon because of any turbulence. Do not step aside because of unexpected occurrence. Do not allow fear to make you abort the journey of destiny. You have to press on with faith. Because turbulence will always come. Unexpected occurrence will always be there. But he left it in the household of Obed-Edom. But something there happened. Verse 11. And the ark cannot continue in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. In fact, we read to verse 12. 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Verse 12. And he came and he was told King David, saying, the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertained to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. He left the ark in the house of Obed-Edom out of fear. and anger. He was angry with your God. He was grumbling. He was displeased. Said, no way. But the moment the ark entered the house of Obed-Edom, blessings started coming. The first month, they were seeing, people were just speaking in low. Can you see? Do you notice it? Something's happening. The second month, they started tapping themselves on the shoulder. Have you heard? Have you heard? They were still speaking in low tone. By the third month, it was so much that could no longer be hidden. They had to announce it. This is the third month of the year. The Lord is going to announce your promotion. The word that God has started in your life in the month of January that has not been noticed, that continue the month of February, is yet to be known. The month of March, the Lord will accentuate it in the mighty name of Jesus. God started blessing Obed-Edom the very first month, but it was not yet known. People were still doubting it, whether it was just there or not. They didn't see it very well. The second month, they were still wondering whether it was real or not. By the third month, it blossomed. The grace of God will blossom your month, in your life this month. The power of God makes it to flow so much this month. The Lord will prosper you so much this month of March that people will give glory to God. They will announce it. They will announce it. They will announce it around in the mighty name of Jesus. The glory that cannot be hidden will be released upon your life this month of March in the mighty name of Jesus. I told you earlier on that the three symbolizes completion of Trinity. Compared to the presence of God. The fullness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the third month, it became so much that even David could not ignore it. God will do something in your life this month that even your enemy, your adversary, cannot afford to ignore. And they will be the messenger that will be talking about the grace of God upon your life. Those who thought Obed-Edom was being punished, those who thought, I'm sure that day when they brought the ark to the house of Obed-Edom, some will say, Obed-Edom, tear-by. And the poor man accepted it. They thought, you should just keep it. We don't need it again. Any area where people have parked you aside, any area, people are just saying, just leave that one alone. The Lord will surprise you. I said this month of March, the Lord will surprise you. And those who have parked you aside, they will come back dancing and giving glory to God because of you. In the mighty name of Jesus. They came back to the house of Obed-Edom singing and dancing. When they were leaving 3 months ago, they were pitying him. Some people went to commiserate with him. We'll be praying for you. Any area where people have been sympathizing with you, they are pitying you, the Lord will bring his glory, his presence. That instead of pity, presence will be your portion. In the mighty name of Jesus. My brother, what I'm saying this morning, do not allow fear to truncate the move of God in your life. Turbulence will come. What you don't expect sometimes will happen. Nobody will expect that the ark that symbolizes the prayer of God will shake. That's enough to take away the faith of people. But don't worry. No matter how much the turbulence, remember what I said, you can be shaken, but you will not be shattered. God, the Lord is with you as a mighty, terrible one. And finally, as we about to pray now, there are just one terror. I said, you should not allow enemy to terrify you with the terror that of fear. But God wants you to know that there's only one terror. Say, knowing the second verse 5:11 now. Said, knowing the terror of God, we now plead with man. There is a terror, there's only one terror. Anybody who does not submit to God, anybody who does not follow Christ needs to fear. That's the only fear, that's the only terror that you should be afraid of. So if there's anybody here today who is yet to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior, there's a terror of God you need to be afraid of. But apart from that, for as many people as of Christ this morning, know that you have nothing to fear. And I will just close this sermon with Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4. And we are going to pray. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. I say, thou shalt not be ashamed. God is saying you will not be ashamed. The devil is telling you, I'm not man shame me. We are going to laugh at you. They are going to mock you. Even maybe they are already mocking you. Yet God said, fear not. You will not be ashamed. It's the promise of God. It's not the word of man. God does not break his word. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. I don't know the situation that's seemingly confounding you. Confounding situation. Conditions, circumstances that are complex so much that you are being confounded. But God say, be thou not confounded. Why? You shall not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of your youth. Anywhere there is shame, the Lord will take it away from your life. It does not matter where it is. God realizes that shame is there. That will say, if it's not there, we'll say, you forget it. You can say, what was God looking at? Why should he allow the shame to come? Why did he allow it to happen? But God said, I am stepping in. I am stepping into your case now. I am saying to your matter now. And I'm saying to some people, God is stepping into your case now. God is stepping into your matter now. You will not be ashamed. You will not be confounded. You will forget the shame of the past. When the Bible says the shame of the youth, meaning the shame of the past, the shame of the early times, the shame of the early period, not necessarily in terms of age. It's not just speaking to the elderly. If it's then I'm still a youth now. He's talking about the shame that have been there before, of the early time before now. But say you forget it. Say, thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. So this morning, I want you to know as you go into the month of March. Remember when we are doing political discussion and we read Exodus, that even when the people of God were marching forward to progress, to liberty, to freedom, there was not a negative march to crumble that march. But what happened? Heaven arose and scattered that march of the devil against the march of God. You are marching for this month. Every other march, every other force, every other army that's arrayed in battle against you this month will crumble. Amen. The people of God at that time, they had no army. Do you know? They were just coming out. They were even yet to develop an army. God knew they had no army. So the enemy wanted to attack their most vulnerable time. When they were so helpless. It does not matter how weak you are now. It does not matter how vulnerable you are now. All you need to do this month is to hold on to the hand of God. Hold on to his hand in faith and hang on to his word. And this month, it will take you forward. Amen. You will not be ashamed. Amen. You will not be confounded. Amen. It will take away every shame and reproach from your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to stand on your feet. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because of fear is gone.
Because I know.
Maski Baba Bakashit.
I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds my future.
Of just 1 minute or thereabout, pray to God on every area where you are having secret fear and say this month of March that Lord will address those areas. And after that, I'll just ask Pastor Wood to come and pray for everybody and then we'll round up the service. Begin to pray that every area, yes, where fear is indwelling your heart, where fear is reigning, where fear is tormenting you, where fear is traumatizing you, where fear is buffeting you, begin to ask this morning. It was fear that made the people of God to say, ah, let us go back to servitude. We accept to go back to Israel and serve Pharaoh. It's better than to die. This is better than dying. They were afraid. Faith disappear. Fear came in. But God stepped in. Every area where fear is raining your life this morning, where faith has disappeared, God will step in now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every area, I decree, where faith has disappeared, where fear is raining, my God will step in now in the mighty name of Jesus. Makas kababa kantralaba, makatalaba kasapalaga, ragagagagagasapalaba, ragagagagasapalagaga. baruba baba kantra laba raga gaga gasampa laba. I speak into your life. Every area where fear is ruling, where fear is reigning, where faith has disappeared, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that my God, God of heaven and earth, will step into this area right in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. In Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, wherever fear has held your people down, today we command the power of the fear of the devil, the spirit of fear in their secret places, we command this fear to vanish away in the name of Jesus. Fear, spirit of fear, the torment of fear that has displaced the spirit of faith and ruling in the heart of men, ruling over the affairs of God's blessing, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we root you out in the name of Jesus. Fear, spirit of fear, come out of these lives. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, all of fear, we are broken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command right now liberty, liberty, freedom in the name of the Lord Jesus. We decree right now, let the faith of the Lord, the confidence in the Lord, the belief in the Lord, take over, take over, take over every area of your life now in the name of Jesus. Today, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fear has no power over your life again. You overcome fear. You overrule fear. You reign over fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Go into demand in the power of the Most High God and recover all. Recover, recover, recover and win. Conquer. Conquer and possess what the Lord has given to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, eternal Father. Thank you, King of glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we pray.